Fort Andros from Wikipedia, the free online encyclopedia at en.wikipedia.org. This reading took place on July 9th, 2023, and does not reflect the subsequent edits to this article. Fort Andros, also known as Fort George and Cabot Mill, originally was a historic trading post and garrison built by the colonial British Empire to fortify against the Wabanaki Native Americans who were aligned with France during King William's War, 1688-1697. It was adjacent to Brunswick Falls on the Androscoggin River in Brunswick, Maine. In the 19th century, the location of the fort has been used for several cotton mills, including the Cabot Manufacturing Company. In 1986, the mills were transformed into office and retail space and renamed Fort Andros. Trading Post and Forts. Trading Post. In the year 1620, a charter was granted by King James I of England to 40 noblemen, knights, and gentlemen calling themselves the Plymouth Company. Their territory extended from the 14th to the 48th parallel of latitude and from sea to sea. The council on June 16, 1632 granted a patent to Thomas Purchas and his brother-in-law George Way. Purchas had settled in the area 4 years prior in 1628, setting up a trading post to buy and sell goods, mainly salmon, sturgeon, and furs, along the Androscoggin River. The site was adjacent to a 41-foot, 12-meters, waterfall known then as Pajobscot Falls, in what is now Brunswick, Maine. The Wabanaki Native Americans referred to this area of Brunswick, Topsom, and Harpswell, Maine as Pajobscot, which translates to Long Rocky Rapids Part. In 1675, the settlements in Pajobscot were burned by the French and their native allies during King Philip's War, and Purchas fled to Boston. Fort Andros. In 1688, Fort Andros was the first fortification on the banks of the Androscoggin River and controlled by the British Empire. After King Philip's War and during King William's War, Governor Edmund Andros of the Dominion of New England, who desired the promotion of eastern settlements, came to Pajobscot in the midwinter of 1688. Andros, with an army of 1,000 men, built a new fort on the occasion that the Wabanaki Native Americans would attack the area, as it was a highly sought-after location for fishing and hunting. The location of the fort is the same location as the preceding trading post owned by Thomas Purchas. Fort Andros was under the command of Lieutenant Colonel McGregory and Major Thomas Savage. It was destroyed during King William's War by the French and their Wabanaki allies in 1694. Although Fort Andros was named after Governor Edmund Andros, it is not known as to why the spelling changed, adding an extra S at the end. In 1878, the Wheeler brothers wrote a book titled The History of Brunswick, Topsom, and Harpswell, Maine. This book is what the Pajobscot Historical Society states as the authoritative text on the three towns through 1878. There are several notations of the fort where it is spelled both with one S and with two. Fort George. After Queen Anne's War, a new fort was built in 1715 by Captain John Giles on the ruins of Fort Andros. This fort was named Fort George, named after King George I of Great Britain. The fort was 3 feet underground with a 3-foot-thick wall base standing 10 feet high above the ground, laid with lime mortar. The barracks housed 15 men. A large two-story dwelling house appeared above the walls and a cannon protecting the local settlers. During the span of Fort George, 1715 to 1736, many local proprietors of the land in Brunswick and Topsom volunteered as soldiers to garrison the fort. During the many Native American wars that were fought in the area, the inhabitants of Brunswick and Topsom would gather within the walls of the fort whenever they felt unsafe. But there were also times when trade ran fluidly with the natives. As the series of wars were beginning to end in the region, the government of Massachusetts deemed it unnecessary to retain the fort any longer, even though earlier in the year, Adam Hunter of Topsom, Maine, received a commission as captain, with the authority to raise an independent company. In 1736, the General Court of Massachusetts decided to dismantle Fort George. A petition was sent to the legislature by the inhabitants of Brunswick and Topsom asking for the fort to remain. The petition was denied. The property was reverted to the proprietors who leased it, together with all of the buildings and the land connected with it, to George Harwood. He occupied the premises until November 1, 1761. At a meeting of the Penobscot proprietors held in 1761, Belcher Knowles, a municipal clerk, was instructed to execute a deed of the old fort with the buildings and land belonging to it and the privilege of the stream at the falls, half to Jeremiah Moulton, the other half to Captain David Dunning, for the sum of £133, 6 shillings, and 8 pence. Knowles gave Harwood a written order to surrender the fort and buildings to either Moulton or Dunning. The ruins of the fort, with some portions of the wall yet standing, were seen as late as 1802. The materials of the old fort were used in the construction of dwellings in Brunswick and Topsom. Some of the lime mortar from the fort was used for the foundations of these buildings. Memorials, 1810. To mark the location of both forts, in 1810, three surveyors from the town of Brunswick, John Abbott, John Perry Jr., and Jacob Abbott, while surveying Main Street, drilled a hole into a rock in the ground and drove an iron bolt 1.25 inches thick in diameter and 18 inches in length. Technically not a memorial, it was used for surveying purposes. The iron bolt was removed during the Cabot Manufacturing Company expansion of 1891. 1930. Adjoining the stone fort built by Governor Andros in 1689, a cemetery was used until the town was incorporated in 1736. There were headstones marking the burial place of Benjamin Larrabee, agent of the Penobscot proprietors, one of the commanders of Fort George, and the ancestor of the Larrabees living in the vicinity. There were also the gravestones of Robert and Andrew Dunning, who were killed by Native Americans at Mason's Rock in Brunswick. The site of this cemetery was covered with mill buildings in the early 1800s. In 1930, the Daughters of the American Revolution, a nonprofit organization that promotes education and patriotism, erected a monument in honor of Fort Andros and Fort George, as well as respecting the place of burial of Larrabee and the Dunnings. Mill factories. After Fort George was abandoned in 1736, 73 years would pass before the site was once again occupied. There were several mills built on the site from 1809 to the 1950s, manufacturing cotton and wool products. Brunswick Cotton Manufacturing Company. The first factory built on the site of Fort Andros was established by the Brunswick Cotton Manufacturing Company, harnessing power from the Androscoggin River at Brunswick Falls. This was the first cotton mill to be built in Maine and only the sixth in the United States. The company was incorporated March 4, 1809. Ezra Smith, Governor William King, and Dr. Porter were among the proprietors. The company was formed for the manufacture of cotton yarn, which was shipped to other mills to be made into cloth. The mill did not prove a success, and the shareholders lost all of their capital. The mill was a three-story gable-roofed wooden building and stood next to Brunswick Falls on the ruins of Fort Andros and Fort George. Maine Cotton and Woolen Factory Company. The second mill was that of the Maine Cotton and Woolen Factory Company, which was incorporated in October of 1812. The mill was made from wood, and Deacon John Perry was the first agent. In 1820, there were 1,248 cotton spindles in full operation and 240 woolen spindles, 9 woolen looms, 9 carding machines, and 9 fulling machines. 100,000 yards of cotton cloth were made per season. About 100 people were employed at the time, but the mill was destroyed by a fire in 1825. Soon after the fire, a mill for carding wool and dressing cloth was established by John Dyer. It was called the Eagle Factory and stood at the end of the previous mill. It was removed in 1834. The Brunswick Company. In 1834, the Brunswick Company was incorporated and bought the land. Among the corporators was the 11th Governor of Maine, Governor Robert P. Dunlap, as well as members of the Dunning and McKean families. The new mill consisted of granite, 4 stories high, 146 feet long, and capable of containing 5,120 spindles of cotton. In total, aside from the Fort Andros site, the company had 4 additional mills of equal size, 2 dwelling houses, 3 stories high, 1 store, a counting room, stone picker house, cotton store, and a forging shop, all completely finished, with all but 4 situated in Brunswick. They also occupied the whole breadth of the Androscoggin River with islands and dams, 13.5 acres of land in Brunswick and Topsom, and hydropower sufficient to have as many saws and spindles of cotton machinery as there was space. The Brunswick Company ran this factory until 1840, when they leased it to Dr. Allen Colby, who managed it until March 1843, when it was sold at auction in Boston, Massachusetts, to Whitwill Seaver & Company for $34,400. The original cost was about $190,000. Whitwill Seaver & Company entrusted the management of it to Messrs. A.P. Kimball and John Dunning Corbin of Boston, who soon afterwards purchased it. The company, after carrying on with business for a few years, failed. On July 3, 1847, the Warrambow Manufacturing Company, not to be confused with Warrambow Mill in Lisbon Falls, Maine, was incorporated and the stock of the Brunswick Company, consisting of mortgages from the previous owners, was bought for $40,000. The company was organized in the summer of 1848, but a few years later it also failed. Cabot Manufacturing Company. In 1853, the Cabot Company of the Cabot family from Boston, Massachusetts, bought the factory. Due to a large amount of debt and a number of shareholders failing to pay their assessments, it was sold at auction in 1857. A number of the former owners bought up the stock and reorganized under the name the Cabot Manufacturing Company, also known as Cabot Mill, with a capital of $400,000. In 1857, the company had 235 looms. There were 9,000 spindles at work. The mill gave employment to 175 employees and turned out 50,000 yards of cotton per week. In 1865, an addition to the building of 70 feet was made on the east side and 50 feet on the west side, making 2 wings at the ends. In 1867, the mill had 26,000 spindles. The company owned 30 acres of land on the 2 sides of the river and 75 tenements and made its own gas, which was also supplied to the town. In 1877, the capital stock was $600,000. The number of spindles, 35,000, and the number of employees was 550. The buildings of the company were a factory, office, storehouse, store, and 100 tenements. In 1891, the Cabot Manufacturing Company asked and was granted access to the town-owned lot within feet of the mill for the purpose of expansion. The small lot was where the memorial of the old Fort George stood. The addition was 196 feet long and 118.5 feet wide and 4 stories high, putting the capacity of spindles up to 65,000 with 900 employees. After the American Civil War ended in 1865, Brunswick saw an influx of French Canadians looking for work. In response to this demand, the Cabot Mill built tenement housing for the new force of Franco-American workers. These tenements were located on Mill Street within walking distance of the mill. On August 12, 1881, Franco-American children as young as 7 years old went on strike, and the mill had to shut down for 3 days. The striking children were offered 1 penny more an hour, the same pay as the nearby Bates Mill in the neighboring town of Lewiston. A few days later, the adults, knowing of the success of their children, band together and went on strike as well. A few days after the strike, Benjamin Green, the face of the Cabot Manufacturing Company in town, gave a 30-day notice to vacate to the residents and the company-owned tenements. In 1885, when a diphtheria epidemic raced through the Brunswick Franco-American population, the state of Maine ordered the Cabot Manufacturing Company to clean up the tenements it had neglected. In 1942, the Cabot Manufacturing Company sold the factory to the Verney Corporation, who called the mill Verney Brunswick Mills. This would be the last mill to occupy the site, first built in 1809. The Verney Brunswick Mill was used for cotton, rayon, and shoe manufacturing and concluded operations in 1955. Industrial Buildings. Lewis Industrial Building. In 1955, the Guerra Corporation bought the mill from the Varney Corporation, but quickly sold it to George Lewis, a Portland realty developer and food wholesaler who bought the old mill at a cost of $500,000 and named it the Lewis Industrial Building. Among the tenants of the Lewis Industrial Building was the Auerbach Shoe Company. In 1968, Auerbach Shoe was ranked 10th for footwear manufacturers in all of New England, selling women's and children's boots. During the 1970s gas crisis, Auerbach Shoe was experiencing a shortage of vinyl, a petroleum derivative. In 1974, Auerbach went through a slack period, which was supposed to be temporary, but the plant never reopened. The following year, a lawsuit was filed on behalf of the employees who lost their pensions. It was standard practice for small independent shoe manufacturers to close after the December holidays. A 2 full and 1/2 months after that time, when annual operations were normally resumed, management still publicly claimed that the layoff was merely seasonal. They closed in December 1973 and never resumed operations. Fort Andros. In the 1980s, the old mill was briefly used for storage by Bath Iron Works, but the building was in disrepair. In 1986, Coleman P. Burke of New York City, founder and managing partner of Waterfront Maine, purchased the land and mill building at auction. Due to the non-use of the 45,000-square-foot structure, 857 windows had to be replaced before it could be rented for retail and office space. Coming full circle, the name of the building was changed to Fort Andros, reflecting the original fort that occupied the site in 1688. This sound file and all text in this article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 4.0 Unported License and is available at creativecommons.org/licenses.